If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to catch all future episodes. Also, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/switchboxtv for video versions of this show, plus loads more videos covering sport, music, and lifestyle. That's youtube.com/switchboxtv. This episode was recorded back in April 2020.
I was first of all going to ask you how you all are. Is it? I mean, I know your daughter Amy's a doctor, isn't she? I mean, how are the Whelan family in lockdown?
Well, all the Whelan family are doing okay in lockdown. Elaine's mum and dad are with us because they're in their 80s. They're getting looked after. Amy got it a week ago. She's still feeling down. The virus has hit her, but she's okay. She will be. She's gone back into work hopefully this weekend.
Tell us about Amy, because she's a doctor and she works where?
She works in Arrow Park. So she had some sort of symptoms the other week, probably 10 days ago now. She was going to go back into work on Monday. They like to go home for a week and then get them back on the front line quickly as possible. But she hasn't been feeling good over the last couple of days. But today she feels a lot better. She feels she may be able to go in by the weekend.
Are you able to see her? I guess you're not able to see her. How does it work? Because I would imagine your wife, particularly Elaine, will be absolutely beside herself with worry, won't she?
Yeah, Elaine's pulling her hair out, but I think she's annoying Amy with the way she's getting all worried about her. So Amy's saying she's okay, she's in Liverpool, she is all right, she doesn't need anybody near her, she's telling us all to stay away, so we'll all be okay. And, yeah, so, but as I said before, she wanted to be a doctor, let her get back into work now and save lives again.
In good honour. And by the way, you don't want Elaine pulling any of your hair out, you can't afford any more to go.
She was cutting it yesterday, oh no, it's all over the place.
Did I tell you? Because everyone goes, what's going on with your hair? I mean, my wife Beata finished a dog grooming course, right? she's like that, right? You need your hair. So she's had the dog grooming. Okay, so have you been able to keep in touch? I mean, Kenny was in hospital, wasn't he? Sir Kenny was in hospital, but it thankfully he appears to be okay. Have you been in touch with him, with all your other lads?
I think it's what we do as footballers, we text a lot. So I did text Kenny and to see how he was, and hopefully he was okay. And at the time I texted him, I think Elaine had been speaking to his wife Marina, or texting his wife Marina, and she said yeah, he was okay and he was coming out of hospital, so that's all well and good. But footballers are not really great at keeping in touch with each other. We've been great mates for years and years, but we don't like phoning each other up every day.
At the same time as well, I was thinking about this the other day. For a football club and a football team, you live in the same road, all of you. McMahon, Gillespie, Sir Kenny's there. I was thinking, apart from Bruce and Steve Nicol.
Bruce is back in Liverpool now.
Is he?
He's in.
Alan Hansen is still there. I mean, the foreigners are John Barnes and Jan Mulvey across the water, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
All stayed in the same place.
It's a lovely area. It's we've got the sea beside us, although we never see the water. But we've got the golf courses all around us. So I think as retired footballers, we're happy enough with that. Yeah, we don't see a lot of each other. We will play golf now and again. I've seen him and kept me 2 metres away from him. He's got a big beard going on. Gary Gillespie's in the same golf course. Al, Kenny, Loro, Jim Beglin, we're all sort of within 2 or 3 miles of each other. But we don't see each other that often.
How many titles did you win?
6.
six. Which was the best team you played in?
I will always say the first one. You know, if you've got a team, right, and when I made my debut, Ray Clements was still in goal. So that's for me, says it all about goalkeeping. Ray Clements was brilliant. I can remember Clement in my debut. All I heard was Clem telling everybody where to go. I didn't realise goalkeepers did that so much, but Ray did.
Yeah.
But then you've got Phil Neal, that's prime. Alan Hansen, that's prime. Phil Thompson, that's prime. Graeme Souness, Kenny Dalglish, Terry McDermott, Dave Jono. This was the sort of team I was coming into. And if you can't learn off them, you're not going to learn football whatsoever. And I learned so much off them in my first 1 or 2 years. Really, how to look after yourself, the right way to the right way to act as a Liverpool player. Never get above your station. You know, you're always there to be knocked down. Win, lose with grace. We'll get on with it if we lose, and the next game will come along. And I learned, as I say, so much off them great players.
Was it tough? Were you nervous going in as a real youngster, you know, alongside the likes of Graham Souness? Because, I mean, the biggest sin at Liverpool was giving the ball away. Were you like, oh, my God, you know, did you think just play simple, or did they just help you along?
When I went to the club, the first team got changed. We changed at Anfield and then drove down on a bus to Melwood. The first team got changed in the first team dressing room, and the apprentice and the reserve team all got changed in the away team dressing room. So I didn't have that much mixing with the first team players early on in my career. I was lucky also that I had three Irish lads that were there before me. Brian Duff, Simon Bradish and Derek Carroll. Three lads that came or lived very, very close to me in Dublin. So I knew them. So I settled down quickly in that dressing room, where it was a complete different story when I had to go into the other dressing room and then sit beside the big boys.
How did you get the call? Was it kind of like Ronnie's got it, turn right as opposed to turn left kind of thing?
Yeah, it was a bit like that. Yeah, it was like that. But it starts at the start of the next season. I was in the first team, but I was still in the reserve team dressing room. But the start of the next season, I went in and my gear was in there, my peg was ready, and I was ready to go.
What were you naturally? I mean, you sort of ended up taking Ray Kennedy's place, didn't you, on the left hand side? Were you naturally? Was that comfortable for you? Because you were more central, really, weren't you?
Yeah, when I left Home Farm to go to Liverpool, I was more what you would say a number 8 or a number 10 in those days, which is like an inside forward. They just go anywhere, get it, give it, and then just go.
In the hole, playing in the hole.
Yeah. I scored a few goals back then as well. But then Bob put me on the left side of midfield, which Sheeds was, Kevin Sheedy looked like the successor to Ray Kennedy on the left side of midfield. Sheeds was looked as if he was going to win. But then on Bob giving me debut against Stoke City, I scored from the left side of midfield, and Bob played me there. Till he left the football club, and then it didn't took till when Barnsley and them come in, and the team changed a bit, and Kenny put me in defensive midfield, which was where I loved.
Where I mean, goals and goals and goals. Is there a couple of special ones against United at Wembley? Perhaps I saw you.
Man
United, I saw you score a couple of against Spurs, wasn't it? Against Clem, of course.
Yeah, I scored against Clem on the final day of the season when we won the league against Tottenham in the first season. We beat them 3-1 after Glenn Hoddle had scored a wonder goal. I was looking at somehow I scored goals in sort of big games, major games, as in cup finals, semi-finals, two against Tottenham in the final at Wembley. Yeah. The next year, one against Man United against Gary Bailey. The best goal I scored for Liverpool was against Man United at Goodison in the semi-final of the FA Cup.
Yeah,
because it worked in a way. We used to do a drill and training where a ball would be played across, someone would stop it, and then someone would come and strike it for a shot. And it worked out that way that when Neely gave me the Sammy Lee played the ball to me, and I seen Phil Neal, and I passed it to Neely, and I could see everything happening in front of me. And all I needed was Phil Neal to stop the ball.
Brilliant.
And I screamed at Neely. I said, "Just stop it." And it was what we did in training. You stopped it for someone to do, and then. It was what I had in my mind. Is if he stops a perfect before me, I can then go and execute what I want to do, which was try and bend it in the top corner, which it went in. If I hadn't played against or played with great players like Phil Neal, that ball could have come back around my neck somewhere.
Yeah.
You have to give other players a lot of... Yeah. You know what you see and you know what you want the player to do. And if he does that right, then we're all okay.
Your shinner for Ireland was pretty good though, wasn't it?
It's got me a few pints over the year. Loads of Guinness when I go to Ireland. It was that fellas come up to you in the pub. I remember 88. Now they say my granddad remembers 88. But I still get a couple of pints over, which is good.
Who was it against? Who was the goalie?
That's the best goalkeeper in the world at the time. But then again, when you scored against Clemens, Shilton, Seaman, in the South all. It doesn't, you know, they all mix into one in the end, don't they?
Listen, is this true? I don't know, but somebody used to absolutely hammer you in the Kemlin Road all the time.
It wasn't one. It was some people. There was a group. There was a group.
Some people.
Was a group of them. Oh, every time I went onto that pitch, I'm thinking, oh no, here we go again. But they slaughtered me. They slaughtered me every game. But the true story is that I was standing left side midfield one day, and the shout come from behind again, Whelan, you're crap. Get in the game, Whelan. You never get in it. Get in the game, Whelan. I swear to you, I turned round. Terry McDermott and Graeme Souness were on their knees laughing at me. We hadn't kicked off. And I just went, oh, that's enough. And then to make it worse, you went on the other side second half, and then I had Ronnie Moran shouting at me as well.
Oh, God. You don't need that. Listen, I know you probably get asked, how does this... First of all, do you enjoy watching this current Liverpool team?
I enjoy watching great teams like the likes of Barcelona with Pep, Man City with Pep, Liverpool, the way they're playing now. Teams that play football, you know, you look at Ajax over the years and the football they played with Cruyff, and then Cruyff brought to Barcelona. I just love to watch good football. And people say, oh, you were a Man U fan. Or, you know, I just love good football. And this Liverpool team plays some of the best football I've seen.
Are they as good as your team?
There's not many of the players that this team, there's not many of this team would get in an all-time Liverpool 11.
On the face of that, you say that and everybody go, what? But then you're comparing greatness, aren't you? Go on then. Well,
no, the only two at this moment that would get in is Alisson and Van Dijk. And that's putting Alisson ahead of Ray Clemens. That's a big call. And Bruce, they're big calls, them ones. Van Dijk, because he's magnificent. But I'm putting Van Dijk in ahead of Mark Lawrenson and Phil Thompson.
Not ahead of Alan Hansen.
No, Alan's in there. Alan's in there with Van Dijk. See, I might have to move Loro left back. But, you know, I've no Phil Thompson. Where am I going to put Tomo? You'd think the likes of Rush, Barnes, Beardsley, Dalglish, Souness, these players for me are Gerrards of this world. These players are for me the best of what Liverpool, for me, all over the years had to offer. Gerrard, Souness. Imagine Gerrard and Souness in a midfield together.
Wow. We're talking great standards though, aren't we? We're talking the bars pretty high here.
Yeah. Well, you look at any of those players that we've mentioned and they'd probably get in an awful lot of world 11s, your best world 11 you could pick. Some great players there. Over the years, it's very, very difficult, isn't it? Different eras come along, different players come along. But there's some great players. But you have to have Dalglish and Rush for me. But then you look at Torres, these people are not getting in the team. So they've been spoiled down the years. Liverpool supporters, there's been some great players.
Listen, you've developed a very successful commentary, punditry career. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer sitting in the studio answering questions, or do you like the actual being at the games and commentating?
You know what? I honestly did like sitting in the studio at the start. But then you have to wait around for like an hour and a half after the game to do analysis.
Hard life.
Yeah, but when you do co-commentary, the match is over and you're in the pub in 10 minutes. So you don't have to wait around.
There's nothing like being, I mean, let's get it right.
I've been forced to rub over the last few years, World Cup finals, Champions League finals. And
Did you call the World Cup final?
I think I did France. I think France. I did the France game when they won. I forget yesterday, so I'm trying to remember. Yeah, but the European Cup and the I know the different competitions, but I'm thinking, was it Barcelona or was it? Was it France or so? I've done a few.
But how much, and I guess, I mean, you say it's homework, but you, once you're involved in a Champions League campaign commentating, you pretty much know everybody. You're seeing players again and again, aren't you?
Yeah. But again, a good thing is I've got the great commentator, George Hamilton, with me with RTE. George has been brilliant for me because George will do all the names before the game. He'll have his laptop on and some Czech fella is pronouncing the name of the number 8 Czech player or whatever. So I get it all off him and I don't have to say it first. George does the commentary and I hear what he's saying also. Yes, I know the names of the players and I have to before the game. But George was a huge help to me along the way.
And what about Bastian Schweinsteiger?
Bastian Schweinsteiger became synonymous with me in
Ireland. Yes, he do, Dick.
It was only Schweinsteiger because I said it like a real Scouser and then people started to pick up on it in Ireland, so I became infamous for Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Right, last couple for you. Who was the best you played against?
In England, Brian Robson. When I'm talking about playing against the English teams, what a magnificent player. The best I've played against, and he was magnificent in these years, which was 83, 84, 85, was Platini. Played against him with France, played against with Juventus a couple of times, but magnificent player. Although we did beat them 3-2. We beat them 3-2 in Dublin, just that great French team, Giroud and Platini, Didier Deschamps.
Wow.
We beat them in Dublin. Just thought I'd throw it in.
Listen, just want to say, fabulous as always, talking to the legend, Ronnie Whelan.